Well, good morning, church. Let's try that again. I don't really know how I follow that. That's going to be a hard act to follow because that was just amazing. Let's give them another round of applause. I mean, they just did a fantastic job. My name is Stephen Lundy. I'm the Connections Minister here at St. John Community Church, and I'm just so happy to have each and every one of you here. And I just want to share what a blessing it is every single day to come in and to work and to be able to see all these amazing kiddos running around, playing, yelling, learning, growing. It honestly just makes my heart warm every single time I sit to see them and say hi. And see them learning about God. It's just a wonderful blessing to me and to my family. So thank you guys for being here and being a part of the St. John community. I want to offer a special welcome to all of you, and thank you for allowing your kids to be a part of this special presentation today. We're going to have a luncheon, and so I want to invite each and every one of you to come be a part. I know we've got the art show. Come be a part of that. St. John Church, come and be a part of that and get to know one of our amazing families here in our community. Let's just have a great time having fellowship and good food today, shall we? I want to dig into our scripture and try and keep it as short as I can today because I know we all want to go and eat some food. But wedding celebrations are a joyous occasion, and they are filled with anticipation and excitement. I know when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the time that Angel and my wife went to be married, and that was almost 12 years ago now, and we just had so much excitement and anticipation for that day, and so we realized we needed something to kind of take some of the distraction away and just focus in on something. So we actually were gifted a table, a dining room table, and it needed to be resanded, it needed to be redone. That's what we did. The whole week leading up to our wedding, we weren't focused on all the details of the wedding. We were focused on the table and thinking about the days that we would sit together at that table having a meal together. So I want you to think about if you are married or have been to a wedding before or even have thought about your own wedding in some time, will you go ahead and raise your hand? All right, that's quite a few people, most of us. We can think about the experience, how great of a joy that is in anticipation of it, either for our own or someone that we deeply love. And even as I wrote this, I could hear Angel in the other room. She was opening up a letter from one of our congregant members and a wedding invitation, and she was just so excited about that. And then as we get into today's scripture, we're going to see this idea of weddings continue. And the imagery of it. And in biblical times as well as today, weddings hold a deep significance. And they often symbolize the connection and the union between God and his people. And so in today's parable, which is basically a story to tell a lesson, Jesus shares and uses the imagery of a wedding to help illustrate an important aspect of our faith. And that is being ready for his return. So let's dig into that scripture today. And if there's any children, I was supposed to do that at the beginning and I forgot, so I'm going to say it now. If there's any children who want to be a part of Children's Church, you're welcome to go. You're also welcome to stay and be a part of here. We love that they're in here and they're not going to distract me. Also, don't feel like they have to leave, but I just want to offer that because the children's people told me to. So I did that. I did my job. Okay. So we're digging into scripture this morning. We're in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. So that says, at the time of the kingdom of heaven, it will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in the jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the bridesmaids woke up and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived, and the bridesmaids who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others came and said, "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour of my return." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in worship. We've offered up our prayers to you, our thanksgiving, our praises. And as we dig into your word this morning, I pray it would be your word spoken, not mine. That we would have hearts and minds and ears to hear the good news of the gospel. That we allow it to transform our hearts, to renew us on the inside. God, we pray that your will be done in our lives moving forward. Pray all of this in your Son's holy name. Amen. The parable of the 10 bridesmaids is a call to be vigilant and to be spiritually prepared. Jesus tells this parable or the story of the bridesmaids waiting for the bridegroom to arrive, yet only half of the bridesmaids are truly ready when the moment comes. This parable reminds us that the return of Christ will happen unexpectedly, and we must live each day with our hearts prepared and our lamps shining brightly. This parable, found in Matthew 25, forms a part of Jesus' broader discourse about the end times. So at the beginning of this passage, we saw the word "therefore." And at Bible college, we always ask the question, why is the "therefore" therefore? And so when you do that, you go, okay, I'm going to look back at what was said prior to this, and it tells me why he's saying what he's saying now. And so Jesus, in chapter 24, is talking about the end times and the wonders and the signs and the things that will happen at the end times. And when Jesus is about to return, and his return is imminent, what is going on? And he says, therefore, this is true. This story is true. Be ready for my return. So it challenges us to take an honest look at our own spiritual lives. Are we living in biblical wisdom and preparing daily for his return? Are our lamps burning brightly in anticipation of Christ's return? The message of this parable can be both comforting and challenging. It comforts us with the assurance that those who are ready will enter eternal joy with Christ. But it also challenges us because it reminds us that not everyone will enter the kingdom of heaven. This parable depicts the kingdom of heaven as a wedding banquet, a joyous celebration of Christ's union with his followers, the church, the bride of Christ. The bridesmaids represent the church, the lamps represent our spiritual lives, the oil represents the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer, and the flame represents our visible faith to others. Jesus uses this parable to emphasize that while the kingdom's ultimate fulfillment is a future event, its preparation starts now. I shared earlier at the 8:30, and we have one of our families at 8:30 who is has Jewish heritage, and I always look to her and make sure I'm right when I shared Jewish culture, and she was like, "You're right on point." So I was good. And when you look at this story, Jesus is talking to his Jewish followers. And so it would have been Jewish tradition that they're talking about wedding ceremonies. And so it's important for us to understand some of the details that go into that to better understand what Jesus is trying to tell us through this parable. And so in a Jewish tradition, when a bride and a groom came together in marriage, they'd actually be married. And then there would be a year waiting period where the groom would go away to prepare a place for the bride. He would go to his father's house, either an attachment to the room or an addition added on, or even potentially a separate building, and prepare a place for his bride to bring her back home to. And so he would go and he would start preparing that for a year, but at the end, it wasn't just a definite set of time, it was a Whenever the Father says it's ready, whenever the Father says the room is ready, the house is ready, that's when the groom would be released to go and get his bride. And so this is what Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like. That Jesus came, he lived, he died, he rose again, and he ascended to heaven to go and prepare a place for his bride, for the church, for his followers. And he is coming again. He's coming to get his bride. But we don't know when, because it's up to the Father when it's ready. So this is what Jesus is trying to illustrate for his followers and for us. And throughout Jesus' teachings, Jesus emphasized the need to be vigilant and be spiritually ready concerning the kingdom of heaven. He says that both in the Old and in the New Testament. While the timing of his return is not revealed to us, Jesus calls his followers to live in a state of constant faith. So I want to share four lessons that we learned from this parable, and as well as four practical things that we can do in response. Because whenever we look at Scripture, we always want to learn, but we also want to put it into practice. So the first thing that we learn is the most important. Christ is coming back. Christ is coming back. Jesus begins the parable by describing 10 bridesmaids waiting for the bridegroom to return, to bring them into the wedding feast. They all have lamps, but only 5 of the bridesmaids were wise enough to bring extra oil, while the other 5 are foolish and unprepared. The wedding feast symbolizes the joy of Christ's return and the eternal celebration of his kingdom. The waiting period represents the time we have on earth as we anticipate his return. And this imagery that we see reflects the deep joy and covenant relationship described in the Old Testament in Isaiah 62:5, where it says, "As a bridegroom rejoices over its bride, so will God rejoice over you." Waiting for the bridegroom reminds us of God's promise to unite with his people in everlasting joy. It's a reminder that Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. The difference between the wise and foolish bridesmaids lies in their preparation. This leads to the main lesson of the parable, the importance of being ready for Christ's return. And I just want to take a moment here, because I know that there is, I'm sorry, I have to do it. It's been killing me. Okay. Christ came to save the world. I know that we have people in the audience today that this might be your first time in a worship service, or you may have grown up in church your whole life. But I want to share with you just a very simple, what the gospel is, what the good news of Jesus is as we move forward. Essentially, we all are broken. We all have messed up. We have all failed. We have all fallen short. We have all sinned. We know that we're not perfect. And in Scripture, we see that the penalty of sin is death, not just physical death, but spiritual death. And God looked at that and he said, "I don't want that for you. That's not the reality that I want. That's not what I planned for you. And so I'm going to send a solution for you, and his name is Jesus. And he's going to come and he's going to live that perfect life that you can't live. He's going to die the physical death. He's going to die the spiritual death, and he's going to resurrect, conquering both the physical and the spiritual death, going and be ascended to heaven." And if you say, "I don't want to rely on my own works, my own deeds, my own imperfection. I want to rely on the righteousness and the perfection of Christ and what he's done. I put my faith and my trust in him. I follow him." He will come back for you and save you for all of eternity. This is the gospel message. So are we prepared for Christ's return? That's the second lesson that we learn today, is prepare. Be prepared for Christ's return. The key distinction in the parable is the wise bridesmaids bring extra oil with their lamps, while the foolish do not. When the bridesmaids or bridegroom arrives, the foolish bridesmaids run out of oil and are unprepared to meet him. The oil represents the Holy Spirit indwelling the believer who has put their faith and their trust in Jesus to have a vibrant relationship with him, to follow him, to be obedient to him, to live a life rooted in faith and prayer and obedience to God. Proverbs 21:20 tells us, "The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp down theirs." Wisdom involves thinking ahead and preparing for what is to come. And we all do that in our regular lives, whether it's through school or work or vacation or whatever it is. We all prepare and look ahead. But we also need to do that in our spiritual lives. The moment of the bridegroom's arrival reveals the true state of where the person is spiritually and whether or not they're ready or not, and the consequences of their actions. The third lesson that we learn is only God the Father knows exactly when Christ will return. The bridegroom's arrival at an unexpected hour at midnight catches the foolish bridesmaids off guard. They scramble for more oil, but it's too late. The wise bridesmaids, however, are ready and accompany the bridegroom into the wedding feast, while the door is shut to the unprepared. This reminds us that Christ's return will be sudden, it'll be unannounced, and the time to prepare is now, is today. Amos 4:12 warns, "Prepare to meet your God, O Israel." God frequently calls his people to live ready and in anticipation of the day he will fulfill his promises. The call to vigilance leads Jesus to conclude the parable with an encouragement and a challenge, not just to believers, but to all people, to stay alert. And so we see that in our fourth lesson, which is Christ encourages us to be ready and watch for his return. Jesus ends the parable with this very clear directive. Therefore, and again we see therefore, so what is the therefore? Therefore, and it's going back to what we just read of the parable. And he says, "Therefore, in light of this parable, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour of my return." Keeping watch and spiritual preparedness are non-negotiables for kingdom living. Just as the wise bridesmaids were ready for the bridegroom's arrival, we must live each day with anticipation for Christ's return, maintaining our faith and spiritual fervor. In Habakkuk 2:3, it tells us, "Though it lingers, wait for it. It will clearly come and will not delay." Patience and perseverance are marks of being faithful as we await the fulfillment of God's promises. So I think for all of us, it can be, okay, we read a parable, here are some lessons we learn from it, but how do we actually apply that to our lives? How do we actually live that out? I'm a very practical person, so I always want to know, okay, how do I actually do this? And so I put together four for us to look at. The first one is this: put your faith in Jesus today. Put your faith in Jesus today. If you have never put your faith in Jesus, today is the opportunity. Don't wait for tomorrow. If you're unsure, if you are ready for Christ's return, if you're unsure of where you are going to spend eternity, my challenge to you is to reach out to any one of the staff at St. John. We love to talk to you, have a conversation about what the gospel means, what it means to put our faith in Jesus, to submit to him, and to live in joy and anticipation of his kingdom to come. Whether that's the person you're most comfortable with is a preschool or after school directors, our minister of students, our minister of children, me as the connections minister, or anybody else that you see, our minister of music, whoever you feel comfortable, have that conversation. Don't wait. God loves you, and he wants to spend eternity with you, and he sent his son to make that possible. Put your faith and your hope in his righteousness, in his perfection, in his death and resurrection, not in your own deeds. It's a practical action. Put your faith in Jesus. And if you have put your faith in Jesus, keep choosing him every single day. Number two, be wise in your preparation. Like the wise bridesmaids, plan and prioritize your spiritual health. Don't wait until it's too late to grow in your faith and grow closer to Jesus. Some practical steps for this is set goals. Set goals for this week, for this month, for this year. Write them down. Tell others about what your goals are. Be held accountable to them. Be practical in what you want to accomplish, such as reading the Bible more, joining a small group, learning about faith, sharing the gospel, or cultivating a regular habit of fasting. We're all going to be at different spots in our spiritual journey with Jesus, and so our goals may not be the same, but we should all have goals to grow in our relationship with Jesus. So set goals. Number three, keep your lamp of faith burning bright. Put your goals into action. We're all aware at this time of the year, we have come to the reality that a lot of people have set New Year's resolutions, and at this point, they have totally failed them. They set the goal, but they didn't put in practical steps to fulfill it or live it out, or they got tired. And so they stopped doing it. Put your goals into action by tending to your spiritual life through prayer, scripture reading, worship, and obedience. Reflect on your life and your priorities. Are there areas of your life that need to align more closely with God's kingdom? Take an intentional step towards realignment this week. Don't let your faith grow dim. A practical action to that is dedicate 15 minutes each day to personal prayer, Bible reading, and praise and worship. The order of that is taking time to talk to God and listen to God, and then to praise God and give him thanks and glory that he's so deserving of. And when you do that, ask God to strengthen your relationship with him, and watch as your relationship with God grows day after day as you are faithful in your actions to accomplish your spiritual goals. Number four, live with a sense of urgency. The bridegroom's arrival is unexpected, and Jesus teaches that his return will be the same. Are you and your loved ones ready for his return? The readiness of the wise bridesmaids didn't leave room for sharing the oil, because you cannot share a personal choice. Spiritual preparedness is personal, but you can encourage others to grow in their faith by living yours out, serving others, sharing your faith, and intentionally discipling others. So what is the practical step to that? Reach out to someone this week. Whether it's a friend, a family member, a coworker, and engage them in conversations about faith, about spiritual matters. Invite them into your walk with Jesus. Are you reading the Bible? Invite them in. Are you taking some time to pray each day? Invite them into that. Are you going to worship? Invite them to worship with you. Encourage them to be a part of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, either here at St. John, another church in this area, or where they live. The parable of the 10 bridesmaids calls us to a life fully committed to Christ. It reminds us that Jesus will return, and we don't know when. So we must live each and every day as though it were the day of his coming. And I'll tell you personally, I have to do a better job of that. Really living every day like it's the day that he could come back. So ask yourself today, what kind of bridesmaid am I? Do I have a lamp burning brightly, filled with oil of faith and readiness, or have I grown complacent and unprepared? Let us commit to being wise, being faithful and vigilant as we wait for Christ to return, rejoicing in the promise that he will return and the life eternal with him after. Theologian D.L. Moody once stated, "The world does not understand that Christians are waiting for the coming of the Lord. They are living for time. We are living for eternity." This parable challenges us to live with eternity in mind, preparing today for the return of Christ. I'll ask you again one more time. Are you ready for Christ's return? If Christ returned today, are you ready? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of Christ's return and the invitation to join him in the joy of his eternal kingdom. Help us to live with faith and spiritual readiness, keeping our lamps of faith burning brightly as we await for the coming of the Lord. Forgive us for moments of complacency and teach us to walk by faith every day. May we be ready to meet you and to celebrate in your presence forever. And all God's people said, Amen. This morning we're going to finish worship with communion and then a reflection song. I think there's no better way. The table is open to all believers, and our prayer rail is open. I want to encourage you to take some time to reflect. Where are you with Jesus? The table represents his body being broken and his blood being shed for the payment of sin. And when he resurrects, he conquers that, and the payment has been paid. So it's a chance for us to remember that because of Jesus, we are saved. What a great glory and blessing that is. I'm going to invite our ushers, those who are serving communion, to come and be served first. I'm also going to ask Chris Smith, who is one of our ordained members, who is ordained as a pastor, and he's going to come and break the elements for us. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he gave himself up for us. He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks for it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Will you join in the confession of all believers as we confess our sins before the Lord and ask for his forgiveness? Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As Chris shares the elements with our communion service, let me let you know, our table here at St. John is open to all believers. Whether you're a member of this church or any church, you are welcome to come and experience the elements of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I encourage you to come as the ushers dismiss you. Also have gluten-free available, and I'll be in the center if you need gluten-free. Thank you. Church, if you'll stand with us as we do our closing worship song, just again an encouragement to you. Let's put our faith and our trust in Jesus. Hear this benediction as we are blessed as we leave here in the name of the Lord. As you go forth this week, may your hearts be filled with the peace of knowing God's promises and the joy of preparing for Christ's return. Stay vigilant, remain faithful, and keep your lamp burning brightly. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord and make a difference. Amen.
Amen. I follow Jesus.